Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Alhamdulillah, as you know, today is the 21st of Dhul Hijjah, and we Wednesdays it is with Mulana Salman Yunus. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you keeping, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana doing?
All well, alhamdulillah, all good, all said, no complaints. Alhamdulillah.
I'm just thinking, I didn't meet Mulana. I think we need to meet, inshallah, so we can put the face to the voice, inshallah.
Yeah, I think last time we were supposed to meet, I think Mulana came down and I wasn't around. But inshallah, soon get a chance to meet us, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mulana, what's the, maybe just give us, what's the latest?
Latest, everyone's talking about, you know, the Iran, Israel, the conflicts going on there, and that is basically covering the media. But always we must remember, when things like this happen, where the enemies are attacking themselves, then we be happy, and we have no complaints about that day. But together with that day, we must not forget, whenever something that floods the media, when it's all over every social page, then you must know there's something else going on behind the scenes also. That this might just be a smokescreen to draw attention towards this, while somewhere else in the world or some other part of the world, other aspects are being done in other countries which we are made oblivious about. So while this is happening, let us also not be, what you say, duped into it. But whatever it is, inshallah, let us hope that at it all, it will be benefit for the Muslims and the Ummah at large, inshallah.
Jimra, that's a valid and important point you made there. Because just yesterday as well, while this all is happening, more and more of the Palestinians, the people of Gaza, they're going standing in lines and queues for aid. More and more of them are being bombed. And yesterday there was a huge amount. And this year is sort of side screen, and there's not much attention, as you've said, smoke screen. And what Allah knows best, what's the big agenda? That's just probably just a small portion of it. But we mustn't lose gaze of Gaza, we mustn't lose gaze of Masjid al-Aqsa, and our du'as have to constantly be there. And the whole effort is this, the psychological warfare, al-ghazwul fikri, to get you duped in all of this year, and you just lose focus. But at the same time, Mulana, maybe we can just 2-3 minutes on this as well, where people become so engrossed in it, and it actually affects the iman of people when you're seeing bodies, limbs being separated from bodies, all of the rest. It can't have a good positive impact on you. And what this tends to do, that is why we say wipe it off from the roots. Don't even look at those things. Don't look at videos. But people say, no, it's our love for these people and we're sharing their pain. But that sharing of that pain is what it's actually doing. It's ripping you off emotions. That's why women folk, they're at home, they sing all of this. Now you and your interaction, your relationship with your child is being, because you just, if eventually you just become numb to what you see. You don't have feelings. And that is a problem, a problematic area, which we, I think, maybe just 2-3 minutes to address this.
No, 100%. Just to touch on that smokescreen aspect, if you look at any major, what you say, happening that occurred worldwide and gripped attention worldwide, look at example, the Nazi Jew, Hitler, the Holocaust, then that was the main, what we'll say, image of the media. But we know that was all part of the plan in order to create a state for the Jews. It was all a big ploy for sympathy. If you look at the World War II, if I'm not mistaken, that was also a smokescreen that was created in order to destroy the Khilafat. So World War I, World War II, I can't remember now. But that was in order to destroy the Khilafat, put an end to it. Then we look at 9/11. 9/11 was all just to make an excuse, the war on terror. That was just to make an excuse that we can invade any country we wish for the simple excuse that it's a war on terror, there's terrorists here. And that was just to get the oil and the gas and the natural resources of all the countries we see that America has invaded. If you look in the recent past, COVID itself, that one is the sickness itself, the other, what political agenda there was, such freedoms and such rights of, you will say, humanity was being attacked, that now anything the government wishes to do in the interest of your health, in the interest of your security, they pose it as such. Everyone comes onto board. And just touching on to what I was talking about, the emotional damage that it does, and it takes away that emotional sympathy from a person. If you look at how the news is structured also, that they have all the main headlines first about how many people are killed. And we just hear 3,000 people are killed, 5,000 people are killed. And over time, we become desensitized towards death. Mm. We become desensitized towards the needs of others and the sympathy that is required towards another human being, because we're just seeing numbers, and the numbers is flooding our mind, and our mind over time, we're just seeing, oh, it's just a normal thing. And how they end it all, they end it off with sports. Sports now comes in, and it totally neutralizes the whole thing. It totally makes you forget of the real happenings in the world, and now you are in a whole flow of enjoyment. So when we see these things, and we read about these things, we must always look through the eyes of Iman and realize that we cannot be fooled. We cannot live in the world as they want us to live. But we have to live as Allah Ta'ala commanded us, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had showed us to live in the world. And in our own families also. Also myself and others, we advise, you know, don't look at those pictures. Yes, you want to read the articles, read it so you know what's happening. So that concern is still there. We don't forget about our Palestinian brothers and sisters in Syria also, what is happening. Read about it. But by looking at it, then we are becoming, as we say, becoming normalized to our view. So in front of us, someone is getting killed, or our children, something wrong they are doing that is aggressive, that is a form of anger. Then we don't feel anything because it has become normal to us. So we have to break what we say the new normal is and go back to what is the real normal. Because otherwise we'll see these children are growing up with video games, exposing them to killing. Most of the games has to do with killing. Who you can kill, what's your kill count. If you look at even in the media, in the movies, most of it has to do with killing. And the way they hype it up, the way they make it so interesting is that this becomes part of our mindset. And growing up with this mindset, and you will think why people are so suicidal, why people are so so much anger within them. Because from that young age, and from their eyes, which is the gates to their heart, all this is being indoctrinated within the heart. So I think it's a crucial point, inshallah, that whilst all this is happening, but to remember that at it all, we have this human nature and this human essence within us that needs to be reserved and preserved. Mm. Otherwise, we'll just become like animals.
Mm. I think I said this yesterday also to the listeners, that we have to be strong for the Palestinians. We have to be strong because we in this, our minds are in this safe zone. So du'as, ibadat, engaging in all of these things and spreading the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supporting in this sense by inculcating taqwa and the rest. But this year, what I've noticed with myself also is when I get too involved in looking at statistics, looking at how many people are dying, the rest, as you mentioned, then you lose interest in anything and everything. You don't even want to eat a plate of food. You don't even want to do ibadat. You just lose the whole plot totally. So that is something that we've addressed, alhamdulillah. And we, inshallah, we should take heed and see where we can go forward from this. Mulana, what else would you like to discuss?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we know that last week we spoke about the Hujjaj and the lessons of them returning, what lessons we can take from them on returning. And meeting them now when they're back and hearing their stories, hearing the incidents, and just that atmosphere of being with them and how exciting it is. But one common advice they were giving from the many of the judges we met is that Hajj, do it when you are young. Hajj, do it when you are young. It's not easy for the elderly. Obviously, when Allah Ta'ala accepts us, Allah Ta'ala accepts us. But they say, if you got the chance whilst you are young, then do it. And that they're hearing it so much, young youth, and that just made me think more and more that the youth, what is being done with them? That why isn't this drive being created within them? That the first thing you save for, the first thing you start saving up is for your Hajj.
True.
The first thing you start working towards is for that Hajj, not for that car, not for that home. Yes, we know these are essentials. Together with having those savings, but have this drive within them to understand the importance of Hajj. That you, whilst you are young, you got the strength, you got the energy, you got the zeal. And now we know Hajj is falling within the summer months of this Arabian Peninsula. So it's even more intense, the heat. And one thing they always, all of them said, you know, drink, stay hydrated. He says, don't worry about anything. All the water is coming in you through that perspiration. It is coming out. So you just have to keep hydrated. So always think about the youth. And inshallah, just whatever time remaining, get some advice and some, we'll say, muzakira regarding the youth and what is this aspect of youth in our lives. We find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us in a hadith that value five things before five. And one of those things was youth before old age. Mm. Value youth before old age. And when they were speaking about this, then this hadith popped in the mind that how fortunate and what a gift youth is to a person, to be young, to have that zeal and energy. How fortunate a person is, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with that good health in his youth, with that ability in his youth. And we find another hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will not move until he answers five questions. And one of those questions is about his youth and how he utilized it. I think this aspect of youth and the youngsters is greatly being overlooked. Yes, the ulama are trying their best in arranging youth programs, in arranging the jamaat that are going out to keep the youth engrossed in the ibadat, away from sin, away from the fitna. But I think as parents more, this is where the responsibility lies. I say we are teaching in the madrasa, and how often we find children coming and the hair is cut incorrectly, or they're not wearing the kurta, not wearing a topi and coming. If that importance is not given from the home to the youth, if that molding is not given by the parents to their children, then who else can really do anything? Because it all starts there. That's where all the rules are. That is where the source is. If you are sending them to the madrasa, to the Darul Ulum, hoping for them now to get molded, whereas you haven't done it within the prime of their youth, then it is very difficult. They are giving a very tedious task to the ustad. And it's not like how it was before. Like when, not too long ago, even when we were in Hibs class, then the ustad basically had full control of you. If he told you have to cut your hair, parents had no say about it. If he told you this, you cannot wear this and come, where is your kurta? Parents never even think of combating it. But today, besides trying to get through to the child, it's about getting through to the parents first, because that is your greatest battle we are facing. And I don't think parents realize what a great injustice they are doing to the youngsters, to their children, by trying to water down everything, by trying to baby them. So this aspect of youth, why is so important? Firstly, if you look at the world around us, all the industries, all the facilities are all targeted towards the youth. If you look at the beauty industry, every product is there, how to remain younger for longer, how to look young, even in old age. Everything is about staying in this phase of life. This should show us that even the world understands the importance of this part of our life, that this is where everything happens. In our youth, I remember we were in Jamaat and in Raiwind, and one person was speaking to me, and then he told us, you know what, why is the youth being targeted? He was from France, if I'm not mistaken. And he said that in France, a great, great effort is made on the youth. If you look at the fashion industry, the biggest in France, and the youth are all being driven towards this modeling and these type of careers. This is the youth got the strength, they got the vigor, they got the enthusiasm, the courage, the time, the energy. They got everything that is needed, as you say, everything that is required for a well-oiled machine. And they need this year in order to run the industry. They need people, they need youngsters with these capabilities. That is why they are being targeted. And they realize that the youth are the future. Whatever they start off now in their youth, they are going to carry it on to their generation and pass it on to the next generation. So if they want any change to happen in the world, they're not targeting the elderly. They're not targeting the old. Rather, they are targeting the young because they are going to carry it forward. And they are ever eager. Anything that looks amazing, anything that looks exciting and intriguing, then they are curious to try. They want to. An old person will say, now, you know what? I saw the world. It's too old. I'm too old now for all these new things. You know, they say, you can't teach a old dog new tricks. They say, no, we're happy as we are. So if you're going to target them, then there's no point in it. It's going to die with them. So the whole aspect is that our youth is being targeted. And unfortunately, more so we find that our Muslim youth are falling prey to these things, that they are falling into these clutches and into these traps. And the core reason is because we haven't shown them the beauty of Islam. We haven't shown them that success is in Islam. Beauty, enjoyment, does not lie out of Islam. It lies within Islam. And the moment we as parents, as seniors, as asatiza, show them that within Islam, everything is beautiful. Within Islam, everything is accomplished. Then we'll see that they won't want to look elsewhere. But as we say, the first point is the parents. The first guidance is that of the parents. If the parents put their foot down, then the child won't even try anything else. But as long as that leeway is being given, then we'll find that no matter who you want, you come to an alim after, you come to a mufti, a molana, say, please speak to my child. It's too late. What is speaking going to do when they have been molded already in a dunya perspective? And we find that when this youth is being affected, when these youngsters, males and females, are being changed, then the whole fabric of society is being affected. The way the future leaders we have, the future ummah that we're going to have, the happenings around us, everything is being affected. So we'll find that, alhamdulillah, growing up, we always used to think that why so much youth programs, so many youth programs? And if you look at it, it's the crowd that we desire, the target audience that we desire are not there. Rather, we get from outside our towns that we fill our programs, from the other location, the other communities that come and they pull, but the desired objective of it and the target audience, they are not the ones there. So I just always think, why youth programs? Why so many youth programs? But the ulama understood this year and they realized that these are the flag bearers of Islam. They are going to carry the deen forward. If we are not going to work on them now and try to put the correct deen and understanding in them, then what's going to happen to the future generations? Whereas they might just see their father reading five times salah, but they'll end up with only Jumu'ah Salah. And in the future, will end up with Eid. And lastly, there'll only be a Janaza Salah left. So these are concerns that are plaguing the Ummah at large. That yes, there are other, as we mentioned about the wars in the world, but everything starts with ourselves. If we correct our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, we'll see how Allah Ta'ala will correct the relationship in the whole world, with the whole Ummah, everything. And these youth programs, just one aspect to help you on it, is that we must not take the prerogative and the design of these youth programs as the kuffar do it. We'll see normally they say, come to a camp over the weekend, come here, come to this location, this resort, and then we'll have a camp, a youth camp. And unfortunately, we find that these are the routes that now we are heading. That we find many youth programs, they are losing the asr, they are losing the objective of the youth program, where now it's all about the numbers. Now it's all about the entertainment, where the objective is Allah, is connecting the youth back to Allah. And that is done via the masajid. That is done via the masjid. Your masjid there, you bring the youth back to the masjid, showing the masjid, making realize you could sit so long in the masjid for this program. Then what is one salah? What is two salahs to come for them? So whilst we are doing this, we must always remember to do it within the confines of Sharia, within the teachings of the Sharia, that this must be done. Otherwise, the outcome is never going to be there. Yes, we'll get big numbers, we'll have a good feedback, but the outcome that we want, that youth in the masjid, we want that youth dressing according to Sunnah, will not be found. Because we've adopted the kufar methods in order to try to achieve a dini outcome. This will never reach our objectives. So So whilst we might be seeing posters and things of youth programs, look at it carefully. Look who is hosting it. Look at who, where they are hosting it, what is being done. Then you know whether I am sending my child or my child wants to attend, will it be of really any benefit for him? Or will he just go have some entertainment, come back as though it was a holiday?
Mm.
Together with this year, as you say, that the youth is such a, is so much to speak on this year, but we're just running through it quickly. Whilst we say that the youth is the most important part of a person's life, at the same time, the opposite is being done. The opposite is being done to a person where they are trying to baby you and keep you in an immature state as long as possible. We have been indoctrinated, and the youth, unfortunately, the mindset has crept into parents as well, that my child is too young. My child is still small, 14, 15. Let him play. Let him enjoy. No responsibilities. Then when is the age? The question comes then, when is the age for him to learn everything? When is the age for him to do everything? Sahaba radiallahu anhu, from that young age of 10, 11, were part of the armies, were leading the armies. But what was the difference? The mindset was the difference. The hearts were the difference. You see, today they have got all the mechanisms in place to keep us in an immature state. You see, old people still playing video games, still watching cartoons. All these things are keeping you immature. It's not letting your mind develop. Whereas if that youngster from that young age, we don't say these things are too old for you to learn, or too, you learn in the elderly age. Start teaching them from now. These are aspects of life that is needed to be known. Puberty is something that how many of us discuss it with the children. The aspect of all the fitna out there, whether it be pornography, whether it be the illicit relationships. If we're going to just sideline it and expect the youth to understand it, they're going to learn it via the wrong sources. These are aspects which we cannot be shy about. It's part of our being to educate correctly. Because if they're going to learn it the first time incorrectly, then to correct it thereafter is very, very difficult. So we have to say, grab the bull by the horn, grab it, and address these issues with our children, address the issue with the youngster. I know one time it was spoken about in a youth program, and parents made a big uproar that how can you talk about these things to our youngsters? They don't know anything. And we have to tell those parents, you all are living thinking your children are angels, thinking that they don't know anything. That's what you'll want to believe to make yourself happy. But they know everything. Far more than you think they know, they know. So we have to address it. We have to make it known. Otherwise, where are they going to learn it from? From all Google, from these YouTube scholars, and everything wrong will come about. Everything wrong will come about. Maturity is does not come with age. Maturity does not come with age. What we often hear, you know, as you get older, he'll mature. Maturity doesn't come with age. Yes, his body will mature, but his mental state, his spiritual state, that will not mature with age. That matures with the correct conditioning of the mind. You can be young, but you can be wise. But remember correctly, when Hakim Akhtar Sahab, he says, leave this youngster with me. I will make him mature before he ages. Mm. I will make him mature before he ages. Keeping in the company of the pious, which we'll discuss now, inshallah, but for a few minutes remaining. But just look at the ripple effect of what happens when we baby the youths. When we keep them to think you're still young, you're still small, don't worry about anything. When they're still finishing off school, and the schooling system is a whole discussion on itself. But by the age of 18, 18 is such an elderly age if you look at the terms of what can be accomplished, what success you could have already been into, what jobs, what endeavors you could have already been striving towards. But now he's only basically starting his life. And by us ridiculing and keeping it young, saying they are still small, leave them alone. This was a fitna put into the ummah. And what we mean by this, it's a whole ripple effect. We find that when we are going to baby them and they think I'm still 20, 21, I'm still small, then the age of marriage is pushed even later. Why? The parents say, no, he's still immature. He doesn't understand responsibilities. He doesn't know what it means to run, what it means to budget. He doesn't know all these things. So let him get a little bit more mature. By that time, he's 27, 28. By that time, yes, his mental state never grew yet, but his physical state and his desires was already growing. That never stopped. So by pushing the age of nikah and marriage later on, we have increased the chances of zina and made it more available that now I'm not married, but I need to fulfill my desire. We have actually made zina more rife by babying the youth, by making them think they are still young. But we need to make them realize you've got a responsibility. Islam, as soon as you are baligh, you are an adult. in Islam. As soon as you are baligh, you're an adult, 13, 14 years you are baligh, you are an adult in Islam. And this needs to be told to them. This needs to be advised to them. That this now in Islam, you're an adult, my child. You are answerable to Allah Ta'ala. You are no longer a child. You are an adult in the sight of Islam. So this needs to be brought up more and more. More and more. And see, time has run off. There was a few more points I wanted to discuss. But inshallah, we will just end off on what is the solution. What is the solution to all of this here? And maybe next week we can continue it, inshallah. But the solution to all of this is that link our youth up with the correct guide. Link our youth up with the correct mashayikh, with the correct spiritual guide. Because that what is needed. See, many a times they are facing challenges, they are facing problems, and they feel, I'm the only one. There's no one else there. But when they attend the majalis of our ulama, who are trained, who have gotten the certificate that now you are able to train others. You can't go by someone who never have a father. A son can't be a son if you never have a father. Now you get pop-up scholars that say, no, let me advise you, let me guide you. But they've never ever had training before. They never ever took guidance before. So how can they ever be a guide? So we find in the tasawwuf, that you go and it's put our youngsters in this majalis. Once a week in our local, in our wherever we are staying, there are definitely mashayikh that are having this majlis. Attend it. And it's only about spiritual reformation, spiritual reformation. Let them connect to these ulama. Let them connect to these pious people. And we must have the drive behind them. We must take them. We must understand this is their best interest. We take them for soccer, we take them for cricket, we take them for everything else. But let us take them for their deen, for the best of their deen. So let us link them up with the ulama. Let them get the guidance that is needed. And whatever that ulama advises, let us implement it in their lives. This is for their betterment. This is for their future. So when they grow up, they will be pious. They will be there. When we are elderly, now we want to know why our children are not there for us. Because we have created that Western mindset that, no, put them in an old age home, take care of them there, put a helper there. Whereas this is a time of khidmat of parents. This is a time where we're supposed to be taking care of them. But if that youngster was not molded correctly and was molded by the ideologies of the world, then we only have ourselves to blame. So we touched on a bit of, I think, of a wide spectrum here. But Allah Ta'ala, whatever Allah Ta'ala put in the mind. But inshallah, maybe we can continue next week because there's still a lot of points to be mentioned. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and Allah Ta'ala safeguard our youth. And us as parents, Allah Ta'ala give us the ability of raising our children in His obedience. And that should be best for the deen and for the ummah at large, inshallah.
Inshallah, valid points. And what I liked about it is, in fact, I was just making few points here as well, because there is programs all over. You can find it in South Africa, Youth of the North. Then they say Youth of the North, but the actions and where they are heading or driving these youth to is the Youth of the West. Because it's all about soccer, it's all about pedal, it's all about... So we know, because we've experienced these things, when you're playing soccer, it's not just I'm playing soccer. I'm playing soccer with a particular figure, role model in my head, that I want to run like this player, I want to be like this player. And we know how many people say that Ronaldo is their role model. So you're attaching that youth to a figure who is totally has nothing to do with Islam, not even bothered about that particular youngster playing soccer. And his whole life is going to go into this. You're creating a love for something which was not supposed to be there. And as you've said so beautifully, that be in the company of the pious. That is where it's supposed to, where we're supposed to head to. And youth is till, you can say, maturity. Once you've reached the age of matureness, now you're an adult in Islam. You're supposed to be earning. It's just a favor from our parents that they continue to help us and assist us. But Islamically, you're supposed to be earning. So like you've said, Mara, there's so much of points. Our engineer says time is up. But valid points, inshallah, I think next week we will continue with this and creating that awareness to say that connecting the youth to the ulama-i haqqani, to the ulama, the senior ulama. And that is how they will then channel our energy towards the right. And then, inshallah, we can see results. جزاكم الله خيرا مولانا، ميك دعاء فور اس. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
مركز صحابة، the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.